Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16. This evening we'll be reading a small section because we are introduced to Ahab and Elijah. And so kind of an introduction to them. So 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 29 through chapter 17, verse 1. 16:29 through 17, verse 1. And this is the word of the Holy God. Now Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. It came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went to serve Baal and worshipped him. So he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab also made the Asherah. Thus Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Hiel the Bethlehite built Jericho. He laid its foundations with the loss of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up its gates with the loss of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." And that is the word of the Lord to us this evening. And so now we come to Ahab, the king after Omri in the northern kingdom. This is the kingdom of Israel in the north, and we must see his importance because he received six chapters of the scriptures, whereas those before him we saw only received part of one chapter. And so there's something important here as we begin to study Ahab. And it is for the northern kingdom we see here a definite new direction for Israel. And for here Ahab marries a foreign woman. She is the infamous Jezebel that you know from the Sidonians, from Phoenicia, and here her god is Baal. And as we've seen with Solomon and Rehoboam, the people you are close to will influence you greatly. Solomon and here, for Ahab, their wives corrupted them. For Solomon it was from a righteous life. For Ahab it was toward a further heinously wicked life because marrying Jezebel meant bringing in her own gods, and that is the god Baal, to Israel. And so we have a summary of his reign, verse 30, that he did evil in the sight of Yahweh more than all who were before him. And in case you forgot, three verses later, we're told that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. What happened that this was such a great evil? He married a foreign pagan woman and worshipped and served not Yahweh, but Baal, Jezebel's god. Baal worship is far more deplorable than Jeroboam's bull worship. Now, neither is good. Both are evil, but one is worse than the other and more heinous. And here he even built a house for this Baal god and built the image of him. Now you might ask, what is the point then of adding verse 34? It doesn't seem to belong too well with these verses. That verse there is to show you what things were like in Israel in the northern kingdom during Ahab's reign. If you remember back to Joshua 6, and Joshua's mentioned there in verse 34, and Joshua 6, there was a curse pronounced upon anyone who would rebuild the city of Jericho. And here that's what they're doing, isn't it? And there's loss of life. The curse comes. And that was the type of thing to expect during Ahab's reign. But do not think that this was outside of the Lord's plan, for here it is in Scripture. He sees all that's happening, and he will not let one sin go unpunished. And we see that the Lord is present. He knows what is going on. And he's sovereign over the whole thing. And so that's where we get to chapter 17, verse 1. And Yahweh sends his prophet Elijah suddenly. What Elijah is communicating is what is that Yahweh is going to inflict the covenant curses. Those covenant curses that we read about back in Deuteronomy. The promise is found there about covenant breaking. Curses come for those who break the covenant. If Israel worships other gods, they said there, it says there in Deuteronomy, Yahweh promised to shut up the heavens so that there would be no rain and there the ground would yield no fruit. And the curse will challenge that's coming here. The curse will challenge Baal's goodness. For he is supposedly a fertility god and a storm god, one who would send the rains and produce fruit in the land. And here the curse comes from Yahweh. No rain, no fruit. And so we're going to be seen, and being the question is being asked, which is the true God? And that we will find out. We already know who the true God is. Yahweh is the true God, the only God, and we must worship Him and Him alone. Yahweh wins the battle between these two gods very easily. We must guard our hearts as we're looking at this and thinking about our own lives. We must guard our hearts and not pursue pagans or those who would draw us to idolatry. And so we're to be warned, for the curses of Yahweh will come upon those who do not worship Him alone. And so turn now from your idolatry and turn to the Lord who demands your life and all of it. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for this, Your Word, and thank You that You sent Your prophet and Your Word was spoken to Ahab and to this Baal false deity. We thank You that we know in the coming chapters we'll see that Baal is thrown down and destroyed. And he does not compare to You, not even closely. We thank You that You are a God who is in control, truly in control of the rains and the fruit of our land. And so we do pray that You would produce a great amount of fruit for us and continue to provide for us rain. We know that we have had, as we've prayed since last year when we had the drought, You have provided this year more than we had last year. We do praise You for that and answering our prayers. And the grass we can still see is green. And there's fruit being produced. And Father, we ask that You would continue to provide as we need. Though we probably would complain and want more. We ask that You would turn that sin of complaining and whining and turn it into thanksgiving and good of the goodness and gratitude of You who provides for us. There's not one day where we have gone to starve and not had food. And not had water. You've still provided every day of our lives. And You will into the future until our days are numbered. And Father, we ask that You would turn us from idolatry and thinking that we can produce the fruit ourselves. As long as we put enough fertilizer, enough water, it will produce fruit. Lord, let us not trust in ourselves, but trust in You, the God who provides the fruit and the rains. Let us not set up other gods. We ourselves will probably not set up the gods of like they did with Baal and images, at least those amongst us here today, this evening. But Father, we would ask that You would point out those gods that we are making. Those gods of money and pleasure and entertainment and the things of this world and even ourselves, even our children. That we may make more important than You. Well, let it not be. Forgive us and turn us from our sin of not loving You as we ought with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We thank You that You show us the perfect humility in Your Son. We ask that You would make us humble before You, even now as we worship You. Lord, we ask that You would watch over our people and protect them. We know that there are many who are sick, or a couple who are sick, like Larry and Jeannie. We ask that You would heal them. And ask that You would Provide for them exactly what they need, that they would be healed quickly, if that be your will. And that they would not feel like any burden upon their family, and that their families here would be there to serve them and help them as those who are godly in Christ Jesus. And Lord, may the saints pray for them. Cause us to do so. We do ask. And Father, we would pray that you would enable us by the Spirit to proclaim the gospel and continue doing so. That when gods are raised up like Baal and Jezebel, people like Jezebel come in, and Ahab, who are in the church, kind of the people of God, or who seem to be of the people of God, and are allowing such things, that we would stand firm and rebuke them, and call them to worship the true and only God, Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, and the merciful God. Father, we do pray for our government. Here we see the ruler Ahab going further in his evilness and wickedness than all the kings before him. We ask that you would turn those rulers over us from doing so. And you would turn them back to you. We ask that where our faith is weak and we think that our rulers can't be turned back, we ask that we would look to you and your character and your power and your mercy. We ask that we would see that and pray in faith. Enable us to pray in faith that you can do such things. And you will, if it is your plan. We ask that you would provide good providence for us, and you would work all things together for our good, for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. That you would be for us and not against us. And that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we ask that you would hear our prayers and answer according to your will. Because we do pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.